Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America party on a beautiful Saturday afternoon. The sun is shining before that mean winter weather comes. It's another day we can bask in the sun. Spirit of America party, a radio show, and the Spirit of America party, a book. Of course, the news is good. The stock market's up to 11,000. 2 million people that were about to be thrown out of their homes. The banks can't find the paperwork. Oh, man, what a screwed-up nation. So they're going to get to keep them for free. Isn't that great? And, isn't that great? And you know what? You know how much jealousy is going to enter the body politic when they find out that these guys are all going to get to keep their homes that they were going to be thrown out of? And how about the ones that got thrown out? Now they can come back and challenge the paperwork that threw them out. And they may get those decisions overturned. So it may be more than 2 million. They were going to bulldoze them anyway. Doesn't matter. All right? And now these people got a second shot. If you get a second shot and you can't make it on the second shot, then, you know, you're not trying hard enough. But I hope that it works out to everybody's mutual benefit. And the banks can always write it off and get more money from Washington, which comes from us anyway. I was listening to an old show that I did, and in that show there was a Marine, I think he was a PFC, he died, and he was killed by an IED in Afghanistan. And I have been watching his funeral and his body being carried into church. And in the course of the show, I happened to mention that it's the same church that his brother, who was in the army and killed in a chopper crash, was buried from. So there's a mother who lost two sons, and I call it her national treasure. When you hear these Democrats who get you into war and have no way out, they leave you to die on the battlefield, and they have to use guys like Nixon to bail them out. And then 10 minutes after Nixon took the reins of disengagement, they blame the entire war on him. And they try to tie his hands like the VC that they were. He went into Laos. He wasn't supposed to go. He went into Cambodia. He wasn't supposed to go. They made a liar out of the president. And that's what they do. They are evil people, and they must be destroyed. And the best way to destroy them is to go into the voting booth, and if it says D next to their name, make it a destructive D and destroy them. D for destroy. When you go into the voting booth, take a look at who's the D and vote the R. Now, is the R any better than the D? Just a hair. But you know what? You lost your country, and if you don't get it back this year, this month, in November, you're not ever getting it back. George Soros will be the titular president of the United States. You don't think this Obama's running the show. You see everybody jumping ship? He can't keep a general in command. They're all bailing out on him. His staff is bailed out. His number one man has hightailed it back to Chicago. Okay? And you know what? That's deliberate. This is, they don't want to be there when the Pontius Pilate finger bowl is passed around. They want to be, say, we are not involved. People are never political. Yeah, did you know Adolf Hitler? No, we were never a member of that party. Yeah, unbelievable. That's what they're doing. They're jumping ship. But you know why? Because they got their orders. They got their sealed orders. They opened them up about 2 weeks ago. And the sealed orders say, make way for Hillary Clinton. Because that's who the Democrats are going to foie gras. They're going to nail our geese feet to the crate, and they're going to funnel Hillary Clinton down everybody's throats. You wait and see. And if I'm true, if my prediction is true, we are the biggest sucker nation in the world, because if people can plot that far out, this thick us this bad, we have no chance of survival. So, and you know, Hillary's doing everything right. You know, she's talking back to Amandine Jod. She said, "Jod, you're being a naughty boy. You know, we were trying to keep the lid on these nuclear facilities. We lied to the American people when Bill was in office. And now you're exposing us. We told everybody you were 10 years away. And then last year we told everybody you were 5 years away. And now we have the truth is out, and we've got 10 nuclear facilities when we thought there was only one. Now they say you got 10, which means, according to CIA mistakes, they got 30. Yeah, the 10 that the CIA learned about by reading the Tehran Times. Yeah, if there's 10, there's 30. Yeah, and when you call over to see who's there, a Russian answers the phone. Oh, God, are we in trouble? Okay, so I sent Christine O'Donnell a few words of encouragement. Being there attacking her because she said she had delved into witchcraft when she was 9 years old. She put a hex on her teacher. So this is the big scandal. Not that a president raped a girl in a barn. No, that's not a scandal. Or a president groped a woman in the Oval Office while her husband was committing suicide in the woods. That's not a scandal. Or an Arkansas state trooper committed suicide over the grave of his girlfriend who committed suicide. Yeah, that's not a scandal. And that Mark Rich got a pardon. That's not a scandal. And that Mary Jo White was appointed to investigate, and she resigned 2 weeks later. And that was the end of the story, thanks to George Bush, who squashed it. That's not a scandal. Yeah. And got a golden saxophone from a big, big bosomed woman. That's not a scandal. And Marilyn Monroe sings to you at your birthday. That's not a scandal. But a 9-year-old girl says hocus pocus tapiocus, and they want a grand jury to indict her. What a nation we are. We're not even sheep anymore. I don't know what we are. I don't know what we are. We're definitely not even a nation of sheep. At least sheep makes sense. So I sent Christine O'Donnell, I said, play this witchcraft thing up, you know, like maybe she can use a magic potion to wish the Democrats away. She could have a magic wand and she can get everybody's tax money back. Yeah, and I have a picture in my mind that, you know, the voting booth where you pull the curtain and you go in, you know, and all of a sudden there's a big puff of smoke and she comes out and she goes, "I'm a senator." Yeah. Oh, how they hate her. Huh? Did you ever see somebody, even, what's his name? What a disgrace. There's a guy I looked up to. The guy that looks like the Pillsbury Doughboy. What's his name? He was George Bush's advisor. Very sharp guy. Carl Rove. And he had a sissy fit. He had a meltdown. Yeah, he was the witch. He was like the witch that had water thrown on him. He had a meltdown when Christine O'Donnell beat the flunky. That's the trouble with Republicans. They chose Arlen Specter over Pat Toomey because Arlen Specter had a better chance of winning. They didn't give two craps that he was a communist. They wanted a winner. And he had an R next to his name, so they ran with him and they dumped the guy that was more qualified and would have represented Pennsylvania better. And that's what they do. Do you think Colin Powell would have been appointed general if he was white? You don't think that Colin Powell was an affirmative action general? Condoleezza Rice was an affirmative action. We got to have a few of those. You know what I'm talking about. The Democrats, they do it worse. They play the race card ad infinitum. They herd them up and move them out. It's unbelievable. If you're an independent black guy, they'll cut you to pieces so fast. You'll have so many labels stuck to you. You'll look like a paperweight. Yeah. If you get out of line and you're black, they'll nail you to a cross and burn it. Yeah. You can't get uppity in the Democrat Party. My favorite example is a wealthy black man who was a big Democrat supporter. He contributed a lot of money to the Democrat Party. Went to a fundraiser and he walked into the room and he wanted to start to schmooze with the boys, and he walked over to a coven that was all chatting, and he said, "Hi guys," and a guy handed him an empty glass and said, "A rum and coke." And that was the end of his party affiliation. Yeah, that's something, ain't it? Yeah, they say one thing, they do another. Just don't climb that ghetto fence, because we're in a gated community with barbed wire on the top. But I did not come here to bury Caesar. I came here to praise him. And I just told Christine O'Donnell, who was for all the flack she's taken, and I got to tell you something. The reason that the Republican women are getting beat up so bad by the party of death is because they are obsessed with Hillary Clinton being the first woman president. And any woman who is worth her salt must be castigated if she comes from the Republican side. You think about that. And never forget that Abe Lincoln was a Republican. And it wasn't the Democrats who freed the slaves, and they won't free them tomorrow either. And speaking of slavery, and never forget, slavery has been around, and murder has been around since Cain killed Abel with a rock. And then after he seen how well the rock worked, he attached it to a piece of wood. And that was the first club or tomahawk. And since that time, man has been perfecting his art of killing and devastation. And if you don't have a shield to protect yourself from a sword, you are going to get the sword. And if we don't have a shield in outer space to protect us from the nuclear sword, we are going to get a nuclear sword. And if you think they were giving out candy when 3,000 Americans jumped off a roof with their feet on fire, wait until the first nuke goes off. The screams of Allahu Akbar are going to be deafening. But you don't think that's going to happen to you. And I'm sure a doctor in Connecticut never thought what happened to him. And here the jury is deliberating when those two guys that raped, murdered, and set them on fire while they were still alive have been enjoying a prison when they should have been executed 10 minutes after. The judge should have showed up at the scene of the crime, the jury should have showed up at the scene of the crime, and the executioner should have brought his power pack. And the decision of the judges will be final in 10 minutes. And that's how that should have went down. And my classic example is a guy named Richard Speck in Chicago. I think he murdered 8 Filipino nurses. Girls had come to the Philippines to learn nursing and to have a better way of life out of poverty. And they were all rooming in one apartment. And Richard Speck gained entrance to the apartment, and he waited for them to come off their shift. And as they came in, he tied them up one by one, tortured them, and killed them. And you know what he got? He got life in prison. And he got hormone shots to get bigger breasts while he was in prison. How's that? All paid for by us, the tax sucker. When Richard Speck should have been executed in the very building he committed the crime in, out the window. And his lawyer, and when I'm president, I'm going to pass a law. The lawyer has to do the same sentence as the defendant. So you better hope that you get your client off. And if it's the death penalty, we'll have to go alphabetical. A for attorney, C for client. Yeah. And in the case of divorces, the loser gets the kids. Hang in there, I'll give you a tune, and we'll make your day. I dedicate this tune to the next senator from Delaware, Christine O'Donnell, and I hope that the people of the first state, the state that made our independence happen, will stand by Christine and pay no attention to the big money boys trying to smear her and give her a shot. And we have nothing to lose as a country. So I'm dedicating this tune to Christine O'Donnell. I wish her well. I wish her a victory in November. I wish all the Tea Party candidates victory in November. And it's time, if we don't take our country back in November, we will regret it by December. These flea bags that left Washington with all kinds of work unfinished because they couldn't take it anymore. They were being harassed. Yeah, we asked them to do their job, and that's considered harassment. And they left us a mess. And now they're out there, they're trying to smooth everybody over, saying they never voted for Obama. Yeah. Okay, Christine. And the people of Delaware, please, God, vote for Christine. We need your help. You're the first state. You're the ones that made the United States possible. Now, don't let us down now. We need to change. Otherwise, we're all going to be working for change. That'll be two dimes and a nickel for a dollar.
Those fingers in my hair that fly, come hither, stare, that strips my conscience bare, it's witchcraft. And I've got no defense for it, the heat is too intense for it. What good would common sense for it do? 'Cause it's witchcraft, wicked witchcraft. And although I know it's strictly taboo, when you arouse the need in me, my heart says, yes, indeed, in me, proceed with what you're leading me to. It's such an ancient pitch, but one I wouldn't switch, 'cause there's no nicer witch than you. What you're leading me to. It's such an ancient pitch, but one that I'd never switch, 'cause there's no nicer witch than you.
topic today is bullying. Now we have the do-nothings getting involved, the ones that couldn't make the Sierra Club and tie up all of the land in the country, the ones that couldn't pass the EPA test for a job because they weren't cruel enough. Yeah, the ones that couldn't qualify to be an OSHA employee because they found it hard to put a small business guy out of business. Did you see all the regulations that are going on? Do you know who causes all those regulations? You do. You know why you do? Because you elected the jerk that passed them. You know how many jerks go to Washington hoping to get their name on a piece of legislation? Do you know how much legislation we need to run a country? We need 10 pieces of legislation written by one author, the Lord God Jehovah, the Ten Commandments, and there are no amendments to the Ten Commandments. And if we all lived by the Ten Commandments, we wouldn't need a bullying law. A bullying law. You know what a bullying law is? It's a ruse. It's to disarm the strong, to make them as weak as the people that are trying to run the country. They signal out, just because a guy happens to be big, he's going to be labeled a bully. They won't let kids play tag. They won't let kids play volleyball. I seen something funny today. It really cracked me up. There was a young, athletic-looking black guy, and he was jogging in place on the corner. But not only was he jogging, he was like doing a dance routine, and he was running up and running down on the corner, and he was doing something rhythmic. It wasn't just plain old jogging. And the light changed, and I said, "Here's a guy really in good shape." And he jogged across the street and right up the stairs into a Burger King. Oh, and they're trying to outlaw Burger Kings. Yeah, I do a routine where there's a SWAT team on a stakeout in front of McDonald's, and fat kids are going in, and the guy goes, "Okay, that's the last one. They're all in there. Let's hit it." And a SWAT team comes out from all different places, and they grab the kids, and they toss them for hamburgers. And they said, "What are you doing, son? Where were you?" "I was in Burger King." "What were you doing?" I was doing nothing. I was just looking." And "What's that behind your back?" "It's a cheeseburger." "Son, you're under arrest." Yeah. "Now step on the scale and we'll see how much of a fine you're going to have to pay. Sergeant, read this man his merengue warning." "Para aquellos que se quejan tanto, para aquellos que solo critican, para aquellos que usan las armas, para aquellos que nos contaminan, para aquellos que hacen la guerra, para aquellos que viven pecando, para aquellos que nos maltratan, para aquellos que nos contagian." Dance with your wife today. You could have had a little merengue interlude, an intermezzo. Hey, you know, you got to keep them. You got to keep them on their toes. The topic is bullying, okay? And I'm getting sick of all this political correctness. It's a disease. I think I'm going to open up a shop to cure political correctness. You come in, you lay down on the couch. I charge you $500 for 15 minutes. You know what cracks me up? People that go to shrinks. You know why people go to shrinks? I don't know. I don't know where they go to shrinks. Do you know the shrinks are crazy? If you got that kind of a problem, it's no good to go to a shrink. It's too late. You can't be saved. A shrink is not going to redeem you from your problem. You got to go where you can be saved. You got to go Catholic. Every Friday, you make a little beeline. You go see God's shrink. And the most he's going to charge you is $5, and you put it in the poor box. And you might have to say five Hail Marys and pray that Madonna doesn't go to hell. You know who Madonna is? Madonna is, what's that real communist, anti-American, Bill Maher, Bill PLO Dancer Maher. She's Bill Maher in drag. Did you ever see her pocketbook? She got a big cross on it. She names her daughter Lourdes. I mean, what more could she do? Can she spit as far as the cross? Unbelievable. This woman made a fortune. All the devil worshippers, they pray to her two cones. Well, man, you talk about pigs in a blanket, and we give them class. We say they're one of us. We export that crap all over the world and say, this is the average American girl. Here she is in all her splinter. Unbelievable, man. We are sick. We are a sick nation. We need help. We got to go to the shrink. Now, going back to shrinks, you know, a shrink can't save you. But if you go to confession on a Friday night for $5 and five Hail Marys, you can have your sins removed. And there's a joke about a National Religion Week, and there's a priest and a rabbi. And they're sharing religions and the ins and outs of each religion. So the rabbi invites the priest over for a service, and the rabbi sings God's praises, and the priest is very impressed. And then he invites the priest over, and they're sitting in the confessional, and a guy comes in and goes, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I made love to three girls this week. And the priest says, for your penance, put $5 in a poor box and say five Hail Marys. The next guy comes in, and he says, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I made love to three girls this week. And the priest says, for your penance, say five Hail Marys and put $5 in the poor box. All of a sudden, the priest gets a sick call. He says, Father, somebody's dying. You got to come right away. He says to the rabbi, take over. So the rabbi's sitting in the confessional, and the guy comes in, and he goes, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I made love to two girls this week. And the rabbi says, well, go out and get another one, because they're 3 for $5 this week. Yeah, you like that? Yeah. Okay. No harm intended. Not at all. I got to tell you. And I'll tell you another one that you're going to like. I just picked this one. A Jewish guy told me this one. I thought it was hilarious. God is looking for a chosen people. So he goes to the Christians and he goes, I'm looking for a chosen people. He goes to the Catholics. I'm looking for a chosen people. And the Catholics say, can we eat meat on Friday? And he says, no. They said, forget about it. We'll pass. He goes to the Muslims. He goes, I'm looking for a chosen people. If you follow my commandments, you can be my chosen people. And the Muslims say, can we have four wives? He says, no, you can only have one. He says, we'll pass. He goes to the Jewish people and he goes, I'm looking for a chosen people. And if you follow my commandments, you can be my chosen people. And the Jewish people say, how much will it cost? And God says, it's free. He goes, we'll take 10. Okay, so hang in there and I'll give you a tune. You want a religious tune? No, you're not up for it. It's Friday night and you're going to go out and get dirty, right? Okay, hang in there. Here's a sin that goes around every day. Jealousy. Is jealousy a sin? Some people are so jealous of other people. You remember when the 911 catastrophe happened and the firemen, the wives and families of the firemen were getting over $1 million each, and there were people complaining it was too much? That's jealousy. That's coveting thy neighbor's goods. Right? Unbelievable. I'm just watching a documentary on Doolittle's raid over Tokyo, and how most of the pilots, most of the airmen who were part of that raid survived, but there was about seven guys that fell into the hands of the Japanese. And I had read somewhere that two of them were sent to North Korea for experiments where they removed their kidneys without anesthesia. I don't know if that's true or not, because in watching his documentary, they didn't mention that. But they did execute three guys, the Japanese did, and they tortured them mercilessly, and you can imagine. As a matter of fact, in this documentary, they say that the Japanese were so enraged with the coastal Chinese who protected the pilots and helped them get back to friendly territory, that they massacred 250,000 Chinese. How's that? And when I saw that, I says, you know what? The big one was a great idea. Absolutely. Of course, the left, the communists who hate this country, who want to see it ruled but from Moscow, will they'll make you feel guilty about dropping the big ones. But I'll tell you this, it can make you feel better, that if the Japanese had them, they wouldn't have used them. If they had them first, they never would have brought them to Pearl Harbor. And if you believe that, then I got a sword swallower that can teach you the same trick. Yeah. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. Fat Boy and, what was the other one? A Little Man? Fat Boy and Little Man? Best thing we ever did. We ended the war, and we made the greatest ally in the world. Japan is one of the greatest allies America can have today, and we're going to be standing side by side when we go to war with China. Yet, isn't it funny that we were standing side by side with the Chinese? And do you know that those American pilots that were rescued, they finally got up into a small, safe town, and the townspeople had stayed up all night to give them a welcome and a greeting. And the band had practiced the Star Spangled Banner. And the five GIs, when they saw that love and affection for America, they broke down and cried. And here we got people to tell you, you got 48 senators who voted to burn the flag that those Chinese revere and love. They still have monuments to the Flying Tigers in China. And you know who treated the Flying Tigers the worst? Their own country. They told them when they were fighting the Japanese before we entered the war. And when they we entered the war, the U.S. Army told the Flying Tigers they had to disband and be swallowed up with the U.S. Army. And if they didn't do it, they would be drafted. How's that? How's that for pushing people around? And I remember reading one story about one of the wives of one of the Flying Tigers who was killed in action, and she had come home, and she was at customs, and she was bringing home records that her and her husband used to dance to, and they confiscated them. This country doesn't always do the right thing. And that's why our creed has to be, the strong must always protect the weak. And especially from the rats that are trying to take this country over, because they want to make us all weak. So, let me find a tune, and I'll give you Jealousy.
Jealousy, night and day you torture me. I sometimes wonder if the spell that I'm under can only be a melody, for I know no one but me has won your heart. But when the music starts, my peace departs from the moment they play that lovely strain. And we surrender to all its charm again. This jealousy that tortures me is ecstasy, mystery, pain. We dance to a tango of love. Your heart beats with mine as we sway. Your eyes give the answer I'm dreaming of. That soft word your cruel lips will never say. I fear that the music will end and shatter the spell it may lend to make me believe when your eyes just deceive. But it's only a tango you love. I fear that the music will end and shatter the spell it may lend to make me believe when your eyes just deceive. And it's only the tango you love.
Speaking of jealousy, I pick up the paper and I read that, going back to jealousy, I've mentioned it before, all of these Republican girls that are running for office, they're all being pilloried under orders from Hillary. Yeah, the Democrats don't want any women candidates threatening Hillary's run for the presidency. This is her last go-around. If she doesn't get it now, she will melt. And they're going after Michelle Bachmann. They skewered Palin. But Palin can take care of herself. She knows how to use a night scope. They went after this woman out in California, Whitman, and she had a servant that was making $23 an hour and for 9 years, and the servant said she wasn't treated right. She waited a long time to come fourth, didn't she? If she was a horse, she'd come fifth. And who else? They're going after... witchcraft. They're going after Christine O'Donnell. Who else are they going after? Well, there's four gals right there that they're going after, and I'm sure there's another one. But that's how ruthless these Democrats are. They are a party over country. I got to tell you, if tomorrow the word comes down that they're going to vote to have all crucifixes removed in the country, and they have to vote yes, I guarantee you 40 of them will vote yes. They vote as a block. They really do. And speaking of blocks, our mayor now is in charge of two city blocks. Yep, he can only govern what he can walk. Yeah, Mayor Bloomingdale, what a disgrace! It's a guy that bought. He didn't even use connections. He just went out. He was his own connection. He bought the city in New York. Yeah, I had nothing to do this week. I thought I'd become the mayor. How much for being the mayor? Oh, I won't take a salary. I'll take a dollar, and I'll donate it to charity. Yeah, and I hear another one. Hungary has got this aluminum disaster. You know, the byproducts of aluminum manufacturing. They've got a river of waste that's flowing towards the Danube. And George Soros, they're announcing that George Soros donated $1 million. Do you know what $1 million is to a guy like Soros? That's like me donating. Tom just donated a nickel. Yeah. That's like me donating a nickel. $1 million. Yeah. You know, somebody said he's a KGB agent. Did you know that? I only heard it from one guy, and I can't give his name because he's in heaven. But his last name is McCarthy, and his first initial is J. Yeah, unbelievable. George Soros, the KGB agent. Yeah, how did he get his money? How did he get his start? He was smart from day one, just like Obama. Yeah, he was a genius from day one. Amazing. Amazing we have such geniuses. And they say that Soros broke the Bank of England. I don't know how the Brits ever let him get away with that. I'm surprised MI5 didn't James Bond them. And but maybe the only guy watching him was a Soviet defector, an English defector to the Soviet Union. And who else? Oh, he nearly broke at the Bank of Malaysia, and Mike Savage went into a rant one night saying, here is George Soros, and nearly broke the Malaysian currency, or he did break the Malaysian currency, and he's Jewish. And he's a credit to anti-Semitism, because he creates more of it by attacking Muslims at the closest thing to their hearts, which is the dinar. Unbelievable. So George Soros let everybody know he donated $1 million, which is a drop in the bucket, in the ingot bucket. So where were we before I digressed? Hang in, we'll take a look. I told you I went to a restaurant the other night, and a while back, and there was no salt on the tables. So you got, smoking is outlawed, but marijuana is going to be legalized. Are we contradictory or what? Now, let me tell you something. I've watched people smoke my whole life. I've had guys blow smoke in my face my whole life. I've had guys deliberately blow smoke in my face my whole life. Okay? Nobody ever said, mind if I smoke. They just went ahead and smoked. And I never saw so much smoke that comes out of one of those bong pipes. And you're going to tell me that you're going to legalize weed and you're going to outlaw cigarettes. You got to be kidding me. And you know, it is a big ripoff. And even worse than the cigarettes. Oh, what is it, $7 tax? They give you the vice, they hook you, and then they charge you. They charge you dues. You got to pay your dues every day. I nearly died. A guy coming. I'm buying something in a bukala, as the Pakistanis call them, and a guy walks in and he says, "I need a pack of smokes," and he throws $7.50 up on the. When I smoked, it was $2 a carton. Unbelievable, man. $7.50. I used to buy Lucy's for 2 cents. Yeah, and they're going to legalize weed. And you know what that's going to do? That's going to open a chain of rehab units throughout the country. And if the next jerk that tells me that marijuana doesn't cause drug addiction, I'm going to throw him in a snake pit and say, you'll get used to the bites. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. Everybody, everybody who's OD'd, from John Belushi to Jimi Hendrix, all started on weed. Don't let them tell you that, oh, well, it's, and you want to know what, you want to know what the rehab rate is, the success rate for heroin? It's the same as the incest and rape rate that the abortion people argue about. Less than 1%. Let me say that again, because people, they don't get it. The rehab recovery rate for heroin users is the same as rape and incest, childbirth, that the abortion people are out there whacking 1,200,000 kids a year over. It's less than 1%. So, and they go fast, man. The heroin users go fast. I could tell you stories that would bring tears to your eyes. It is really sad. Absolutely sad. Drugs is the worst. It's my first chapter in the book because I believe it's the greatest threat to the United States. If the United States can't clean up its drug act, the rest of the world is lost forever. They will never recover. We're the only ones that can set records, and we got to set a record for the removal of drugs in this country. They got to go. Absolutely got to go. You got a guy that's, you're a guy that's dying of a painful disease. You're welcome to all of the drugs that they can farm in Afghanistan. You're welcome to it all. I don't deny you anything. But if you're a bus driver of a school bus, and you're hitting crap, you're a threat to the livelihood of too many Americans. You're a threat to the survival of the country. You got to get rid of drugs. If you don't beat drugs, drugs will beat you. I could tell you stories that are so heart-wrenching you wouldn't believe. And I'm not in the game. I'm not an expert. I'm not a consultant. I'm just a guy, an average guy, who saw the onslaught of drugs from day one. When I grew up, nobody knew how to take it. Nobody knew how to use a hypodermic. I grew up in before drugs. There was weed. You had to go downtown to buy weed. Washington Heights was drug free. Can you believe that? And today, Washington Heights is the drug capital of the world, or of New York City. And it was jam tight and jelly free. We had three bars on every block, and alcohol was a problem. But we had no drugs. It's sad, man. It is absolutely sad. Drugs will destroy us. There's a book that Jimmy from Brooklyn recommends, and I never got it. I tried to find it. I couldn't find it. Of course, I went to a Barnes & Noble. You can get The Life of Che Guevara and Mao Zedong, but you can't get Red Cocaine. Jimmy says, Red Cocaine, the second edition, is the best one, and get the soft cover. Red Cocaine. It might be worth reading. Hang in there, and we'll come back to... Round table. I was watching Imus's TV program the other day before I went to work, and his wife Deidre was on, and she made a comment that 93% of all abortions are due to the fact that the child is inconvenient, and they all jumped all over her. Now, here's a woman that runs a camp for kids that are dying of cancer. So she is closer to embryos, as the communists call them, or fetuses, as the communists call them. She is closer, and she is closer to death than many people. So I tip my hat to Deirdre Imus, and I really welcome her attempt to save lives. And that's all she's doing. She's just trying to save one kid from the gallows. So, and I pray for her, being that she's married to a crazy guy. She may go down in history as Saint Deirdre Imus. But anyway, I'm not going to say that she's carrying a cross being married to him. I'm not saying that. She probably keeps him from going off the deep end. So she's a regular. She is the woman's version of Saint Christopher. So hang in there a second. I had to get that plug in. It's nice. I like it when celebrities come down on the side of God. I wonder what's going to happen when the Pope shows up at the Imus Ranch and blesses Deirdre and tells her that she qualifies for an annulment. And speaking of idolatry, idolatry and adultery, the same thing, right? We got Elliot Spitzer, the role model that kids can look up to. And it'll take their attention off of President Pinocchio pants. Unbelievable that this guy should be allowed to qualify as a human being. Yeah, oh man, I'll tell you. It's really sickening. Hang in there. And all these politicians, you know, they all go to Washington. They start second families down there. The guy from California, what was his name? Gary something? And his second wife disappeared. And they couldn't find her. How's that? They couldn't find her on a hiking trail. And some guy that was hiking a month later found her. Or 6 months later. Now, do you think she was there all along? Gary Condit was the guy's name. Or was she in Gary's freezer for a while? You don't know. You don't know. Don't put anything past these guys. These guys are evil. I mean, look at John Edwards. There's evil personified. And everybody thought he was Mr. Pancakes. And what a sinner he was. And look at President Pinocchio pants. Or as I call him, Biff. From Back to the Future. He likes to do the parking lot scene with women. Unbelievable, man. And everybody looks up to him. Yeah, he gave us the greatest economy. He sure did. He sure did. Did you know that in November of 1998, guess how much the price of oil was? You're going to die. Guess. Take a wild guess. How much was the price of oil in November of 1998? Are you ready? $10 a barrel. The Arabs were going nuts. They had to put a jihad tax on the oil. Yeah, we're sponsoring our own demise. And people, I've seen people fighting on this fella Eric, I forget his last name, on Fox Business. And they were fighting. Eric made the comment that there's more oil in the United States than in Saudi Arabia, and they all climbed the roof. Especially one, a college graduate, who felt that $20 a gallon for gasoline would be the only way to bring the American people into line. And don't wait. I can't wait till he's an assemblyman from the state of New York, a congressman from the state of New York, like Anthony Weiner, or what's that other guy's name? Nallet, and Adler. How's that? How about Sheldon Silver, who actually is the Cardinal Richelieu of Albany. Unbelievable, man. Lemons. I'm going to put a lemon on the corner and a campaign sign, and I'll bet you I can get that lemon elected. Unbelievable. We are suckers. We buy anything. Popularity. He's good looking. I'm voting for him because he's good looking. I'd rather have Quasimodo if you get me a tax cut. Quasi, I need sanctuary. I need a tax sanctuary. Hang in, let me find a tune for you. When these guys go around bashing women, and it's terrible when the Republicans bash one of their own or betray one of their own. There's no, these politicians, you know, what they need? They need an ass kicking and a haircut. And they should all be thrown out of office. Their time is up. Even if you vote out a good guy, it's now's the time to clean house. You got to take your country back. If you don't take your country back in November, you will be crying in December. I'm telling you, man. We have too many enemies. We have a bad economy. We have 2 million homes in foreclosure. We have God knows how many homes are below the mortgage is greater than the asset that the asset value of the house. It is terrible. We're in bad shape. I'll give you an example. I know a store that's closing. Guy's been in business 50 years. He's throwing a towel in. You know what clinched the deal? A $420 fine from the city of New York for not paying for an air conditioner on the ground. You see, the city of New York used to come around and charge you $250 if you had an air conditioner on the roof. Okay? And the argument being if there's a fire, the air conditioner will fall through the roof and could kill somebody. So the landlord took the air conditioner off the roof and put a brand new one on the ground. So the fire inspector comes in and he says, doesn't matter. We changed the law. You got to pay for the one on the ground too. So he banged him $250, and then he turned around and he banged him another $250 for an air conditioning unit that was on another person's roof. So we got a bill for $500, and then he missed the deadline to pay the bill, and he got a fine for $1,000. And this is Mayor Bloomingdale at work. He's helping small business. So the guy said, that's it. I've had it. This is the straw that breaks the camel's back. I'm out of here. He had 2 part-time employees. They're gone. So 3 people are out of work and 1 business is gone. Now that mayor has no revenue from 3 people and no revenue from fines and taxes. And the state of New York loses the corporate franchise tax. The city of New York loses the corporate franchise tax and all the other little gimmicks they have to fleece the people. And that's just one life that's been affected in this economy. Can you imagine what's really going on? Wait till they pass a law that says 2 people in the same family can't work because we don't have enough jobs. Only 1 person in a family can work. You don't think they couldn't do that? Yeah. Did you read the 2,700 pages of the health plan? The health plan's got 2,700 pages. Do you know what's on page 999? The location of Osama bin Laden. And it's hidden there because nobody will read it. Unbelievable, man. We're in trouble. So, they're going after all the decent people that we're trying to bring up. The Tea Party is trying to give us fresh blood. They're trying to give us new crooks instead of the old crooks. The Tea Party is taking a shot at somebody new. New, promising, and exciting. So what do? They label Christine O'Donnell a witch and a fool. How's that? And she's too small for the job. What job? The one you got where you lie to us? The one you got where you don't take our phone calls? The one you got where you vote against our wishes? No, we'll take Christine O'Donnell. And she can bewitch, bother, and bewilder me any day of the week.
She's a fool and don't I know it. But a fool can have her charm. I'm in love and don't I show it. like a babe in arms. Love's the same old sad sensation. Lately, I've not slept a wink since this half-pint imitation put me on the blink. I'm wild again, beguiled again, a simpering, whimpering child again, bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I. Couldn't sleep and wouldn't sleep. Love came and told me I shouldn't sleep. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I. Lost my heart, but what of it? She is cold, I agree. She can laugh, but I love it. Although the laugh on me, I'll sing to her, bring spring to her, and long for the day when I'll clear.